Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Lucky by Design, The Hidden Economics. You Need to Get More of What You Want by Judd Kessler frames luck not as a mysterious force, but as an outcome you can influence through smarter choices, better incentives, and strategic behavior. Drawing on ideas commonly associated with modern microeconomics and behavioral decision-making, the book explores how people pursue goals in environments shaped by uncertainty, competition, and imperfect information. Instead of promising shortcuts, it focuses on practical levers, how to recognize where value is created, how to negotiate for it, and how to build systems that make desirable outcomes more likely over time. Kessler's approach is designed for readers who want more control over results at work and in life, whether that means landing better opportunities, improving relationships, or making decisions with less regret. By translating economic intuition into everyday scenarios, the book encourages readers to move from hoping for luck to engineering conditions where luck shows up more often and with bigger impact. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, redefining luck as controllable outcomes. A core theme is the shift from viewing luck as random chance to treating it as a pattern of outcomes that can be shaped. In economic terms, luck often reflects exposure to opportunities, the quality of decisions under uncertainty, and the ability to capture value when it appears. The book emphasizes that while you cannot control the entire environment, you can influence inputs that affect probability, where you spend time, which problems you choose, and how prepared you are when a door opens. This perspective encourages readers to audit their current strategy for getting what they want and identify points of leverage, such as changing the pool of people they interact with or the markets they participate in. It also highlights the difference between a one-off win and repeatable success. Rather than relying on a single fortunate event, readers are guided toward creating conditions that produce more frequent positive surprises. The practical implication is a mindset change. Treat results as data, treat uncertainty as a design constraint, and actively increase the number of favorable rolls of the dice through deliberate actions. Secondly, incentives and trade-offs in everyday decisions. The book applies a foundational economic idea: people respond to incentives, and every choice involves trade-offs. Many frustrations, at work or in personal life, come from misaligned incentives or hidden costs that are easy to ignore in the moment. By making trade-offs explicit, readers can better predict behavior, including their own. The discussion encourages asking simple but powerful questions. What is rewarded here, formally or informally? What is punished? What is scarce? What does the other side value more than I do? Thinking this way helps readers avoid decisions that feel good short-term but erode long-term goals, such as prioritizing visible busyness over high-impact work. It also helps in designing commitments that make follow-through easier, like setting deadlines, using accountability, or creating small penalties for inaction. Importantly, the incentive lens applies to relationships as well. Misunderstanding what motivates someone can lead to repeated conflict and disappointment. By identifying the true incentives in a situation, readers can negotiate better, collaborate more effectively, and choose environments where their preferred behaviors are naturally supported. Thirdly, information, signaling, and reputation as economic assets. Another major topic centers on information gaps and how people make judgments when they cannot observe quality directly. In many real settings, from hiring to dating to business partnerships, decisions are made using signals, credentials, portfolios, referrals, consistency, and visible effort. The book highlights that if you want more of what you want, you must manage the signals you send and understand the signals others respond to. Reputation becomes a compounding asset because it reduces uncertainty for others and lowers the friction of future opportunities. The book encourages intentional reputation building through reliability, clear communication, and follow-through, as well as selecting arenas where your strengths are legible. It also warns about noisy signals, activities that look impressive but do not actually demonstrate value, which can waste time and create false confidence. Readers are nudged to think about asymmetric information in negotiations too, including what the other side knows, what you know, and what can be credibly communicated. By treating information and signaling as part of the economics of opportunity, the book helps readers move from being overlooked to being easier to choose. Fourthly, negotiation and value capture. Without burning trust, getting more of what you want often requires not only creating value, but also capturing a fair share of it. The book addresses negotiation as an everyday skill, not a high-stakes event reserved for salary talks. Through an economics-informed lens, negotiation depends on alternatives, constraints, and the structure of the deal. Readers are encouraged to clarify their best alternative, understand the other side's constraints, and look for trades that increase total value rather than fighting over a fixed pie. This approach supports outcomes that are both better and more durable because it preserves relationships and reduces the risk of future conflict. The book also emphasizes that credibility matters. Threats and promises only work when they are believable, and long-term reputation influences what others will concede. Another practical angle is framing. How you present a request can change whether it feels reasonable, cooperative, or adversarial. By focusing on interests over positions, readers can propose options that satisfy what the other party truly cares about. The result is a negotiation style that aims to improve results while maintaining trust, which is itself a key ingredient in future opportunities. Lastly, designing environments and habits that make success repeatable. A final theme is the idea that personal outcomes improve when you design the system around you, not just rely on willpower. In economic terms, behavior is shaped by constraints, defaults, and the cost of action. The book encourages readers to reduce friction for good behaviors and increase friction for bad ones. That can mean structuring your calendar so priority work happens before interruptions, simplifying choices so you do not waste attention on low-value decisions, or creating routines that reliably produce learning and progress. It also involves choosing better environments, teams, communities, and markets where your efforts are rewarded and where opportunities circulate. This system-building perspective connects back to luck. When your environment constantly exposes you to high-quality information, capable collaborators, and meaningful problems, the odds of fortunate outcomes rise. The book frames this as a long game. Small design choices compound, turning occasional wins into a pattern. Readers who adopt the approach can become more resilient to randomness because their system continues to generate options even when a single plan fails. Over time, this makes success feel less like a surprise and more like an engineered result. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want practical leverage rather than motivational slogans. Professionals seeking better opportunities, founders and managers navigating incentives, students planning careers, and anyone tired of attributing outcomes to mere chance. It can benefit a reader's life by improving how they think about uncertainty and control. Instead of chasing hacks, it encourages building repeatable advantages through better decisions, clearer signaling, smarter negotiation, and environment design. Those tools translate directly into everyday gains, more productive habits, stronger relationships, better deals, and a wider pipeline of opportunities. The book is also useful for readers who feel stuck, because the economic framing converts vague frustration into diagnosable problems such as misaligned incentives, poor information, or weak alternatives. Compared with similar self-improvement or success books, it stands out by grounding its advice in widely recognized economic principles that explain why certain strategies work across many contexts. That makes the guidance more transferable. You can apply the same thinking to careers, money, friendships, and personal goals. If you want a structured way to increase the frequency and size of positive outcomes without relying on luck alone, this book is worth buying. If you would like to support Judd Kessler, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.